This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
1 week from today, everybody is back from the Buffalo Bills out at St. John Fisher College. In fact, 1 week from today, they'll already be off of the field. I don't need to tell this man. He'll be in Rochester next week. Our good friend Matt Perino, Syracuse post-standard. Last time we talked to you, Matt, you were getting ready to head down to Hershey. How was the family vacation for you?
The family vacation was very rewarding. Got to spend some time with my son and my daughter and my wife. It was enjoyable. It was very hot out there. But listen, Gene, I know you want to talk Bills, and I always love talking Bills. But you got me fired up here. This is a topic. You started your show off today that's very close to my heart. I love talking fandom and what makes sense and what doesn't. Listen, here's the number one party foul when it comes to being a sports fan. If you are a Buffalo Bills fan, I should say, if you are a Buffalo Bills fan and your baseball team is the Boston Red Sox, you are doing it wrong. You are cheering for a baseball team with a bunch of people who cheer for the Patriots, okay? They hold in their heart Manny Ramirez the same way they hold Rob Gronkowski, okay? The most hated current or former Patriot in Bills Nation. I get fired up about this, Gene. You got my blood boiling a little bit because, you know, I don't get too passionate too often because I like to keep things, you know, pretty neutral. But, you know, being a Buffalo Bills fan growing up, that always kind of irritated me a bit. And maybe it's because my grandfather was a Yankees fan.
Okay, so if you just take the case study of New York, I mean, to prove my point that you should only be a fan of one particular team, it's fascinating to me more often than not that you could divide it. Your Mets fan is a Jets fan. Your Yankee fan does not cheer for the Jets. He cheers for the Giants and the Knicks. I'm not sure where the Nets fit in all this today. And the Islanders also. No, there's no crossing between the Islanders and the Yankees. You have it right down the line based on geography. I will ask you this, though, Matt, because you are in an interesting position. You are somebody that grew up here in the area, and then you moved out to Vegas, had a great job with the UFC. You're in Vegas. You're right there when this startup NHL franchise is getting going. Did you get hooked in?
Well, I'm a weird case in that I don't make this too public, but I'm not a Sabres fan. Like, I'm not a hockey fan. I'm not an NHL fan. I don't really like the sport. I think growing up, I was like, you know, just getting really hardcore into sports when the Bills were going to the Super Bowls. So it was all anybody around here talked about. When I went to school, nobody was talking about the Sabres ever. So when all of a sudden, late 90s, the Bills kind of started to fall off and the Sabres kind of boom happened, you know, with Hasek and then Drury and Briere. I kind of like was a little bit angry about the rise of the Sabres because I was like, hang on a second. This is Bills town. This is football town. And all of a sudden, all this nonsense about hockey heaven and all this other stuff. Listen, I get it. I get the, you know, over time I've kind of softened that stance because, you know, I've kind of grown in my profession and as a sports consumer. But I think that number one most important thing, your number one team that you root for, and a lot of people in Buffalo, that's the Bills, that should determine who you root for in sports. It should be like kind of like a family tree. The Red Sox should be off that family tree. And I guess the Yankees and the Mets, I mean, it's, I get it, but there's so many teams in New York City, it's hard to kind of play that game.
Yeah, and for that matter, the NBA, I would think that the Celtics... It's a tough one, Matt. I mean, that you brought up the interesting caveat that you're in Buffalo, but what about the two sports that are not in this town? And there are, as I'm sure there are in Buffalo and Rochester, a ton of Red Sox fans, and I'm sure there are a ton of people that are they're getting angry at you right now that are like, wait, you're calling, I'm a Bills fan and a Red Sox fan? No, that should not be. You're absolutely right.
I found that most Bills fans Red Sox fans, like, are bigger Sabres fans than they are Bills fans, if that makes any sense. And that's just my experience with a small, you know, kind of pool of people to survey in that department, because I have a lot of family members that are big Sabres fans. No, I mean, at the end of the day, it's sports and it's fun. I mean, I'm having a little fun here, but, you know, do what you want to do. Like, I got to be honest with you, I am a LeBron James fan. So wherever he goes, before him, it was Tracy McGrady. So I was a Raptors fan, then I was a Magic fan, then I was a Rockets fan. I even got down for the Spurs and the Pistons, and those are two teams I did not like back in the day, and in the 90s when they were playing that defensive style of basketball. So however you want to do it, I'm down to do it. And guess what? We're all going to be doing it pretty big next week when training camp starts.
Ah, there you go. Smooth segue, Matt. You had a chance to catch up with the GM, the head coach. First of all, just get this. Help me explain, because something doesn't sit right with me about the embargo thing. It's their rules. You got to abide by their rules. You got to hold on. But what are they thinking when it comes to, hey, you know what? We're going to sit down with you, but embargo. It's not like there's trade secrets or anything like that. What's the idea? Do you just want to, you know, win the media cycle here leading up to camp? Is that it, Matt?
From my understanding, and again, this is my first time with this particular exercise, it's an idea that I think the beat writers wanted to get, you know, one sit down with media availability with Brandon and Sean before training camp, and they, for the most part, are gone up until for this month, up until the training camp. So instead of, you know, the hectic nature of everything, and you will have seen it written in a bunch of stories today, it's just a kind of way to get things out of the way early, and then let everybody kind of, you know, recharge. Because the NFL schedule, I mean, that's one thing that I've come to learn. It is an intense year-round grind. So when they can find little pockets of convenience, I think they go for it. And listen, there was some really good stuff that I thought came out of the Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott sit down, but was any of it like, was there an immediacy to any of it? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I really enjoyed writing the GM coach relationship dynamic piece that I thought, you know, I was impressed with how much they let us into that, especially Sean McDermott, who's usually very tight-lipped about things. He was very relaxed. I really enjoyed the setting. And I actually, not to take credit for it, but just to give you kind of paint a picture, I kind of kicked it off and was like, you know, you guys have been here 2 years together. So much has been made about the fact that you guys were together in Carolina. How much has things grown from that point in time when you both came here to now? And that started like 10 minutes where it was just a great conversation in the room. And it was really enjoyable. I think that, but to your point, I get it. But I think at the same time, there was nothing that needed to break right now. And actually, the piece of it that was timely, the training camp stuff, everybody agreed on letting that go at the time that we did the interview in June.
Yeah, and credit to you on this. And you can check out Matt's piece at the Syracuse Post Standard. Matt Perino, our guest here, in regards to that relationship. And it's a big issue because we see two teams right now in the AFC East. Maybe there's others, but that come to mind. Houston fired their GM. The Jets, after hiring the head coach, fired their GM. So right now, because the relationship between head coach and GM didn't work, you have two teams right now that they don't have the optimum setting here. What do we know in regards to Brandon and Sean? They can't agree on everything. So when they have a disagreement, Matt, how do the two work it out? Who's got the upper hand? How does that all come down?
They don't agree on everything. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of times when they're in disagreement. I think from a player personnel perspective and then an on-field coaching perspective, you're going to have a lot of differences. But Brandon Bean said something interesting. He said that the way that he starts this whole process of making sure that, you know, everything's running smoothly from a trust perspective and a communication perspective is inclusivity. Like, he makes sure that everybody on the coaching staff and everybody on the player personnel side are constantly intertwined in terms of the lines of communication. So that way, there's never these little pockets or maybe groups where gossip can start to happen or disdain for certain decisions or being left out of certain scenarios. And Sean said that he's seen it in various stops over the course of his career, how, you know, gossip can be an absolute killer when it comes to chemistry amongst the organization. I mean, it can infiltrate department like a spider web. And he says you see it. And then all of a sudden, you know, coaches stop talking to player personnel people. Player personnel people, Brandon Bean said that they'll just completely leave coaches out of it. And they'll go out there and they'll sign players and basically say, good luck, get the best out of this guy without any kind of input. And, you know, from the outside looking in and from a, you know, a very, you know, novice perspective in terms of player evaluation and development, from my perspective, that's important. Because if you're going to go give a coach a player and not ask that coach anything in terms of feedback on what they're looking for, what in their experience has worked best in developing players, then I think you're doing it wrong as an evaluator and as a player personnel guy.
So we're all excited to learn about the, you know, the 53. That's the fun part of camp. It's always fluid when it comes to that, who's in, who's out. When it all is done, right around Labor Day weekend, who has the final call on that, Matt? Do we know? Is it Bean or is it McDermott?
The 53 is, to my knowledge, and this is not a specific question that or answer that I've gotten, is Brandon Bean. But they are so intertwined. I mean, if you go back and watch the draft, where, I mean, that's really Brandon Bean and Joe Shane's kind of deal. Sean McDermott was right there at the head table, involved in every moment that we were able, that we were privy to in that video that I thought was actually, you know, really cool inside access to what goes on in the draft room. And I just think that Brandon Bean wants to put Sean McDermott in a situation where he can be successful and vice versa. And to do that, you know, you need to know what he, how he works best, you know, what kind of players he's working for, what kind of, they're both big. Here's another thing too. They're both really big into, you know, the locker room, the chemistry, the process, right? Like how do guys buy into that team mentality that Sean McDermott holds so close to his heart? I mean, if Brandon Bean goes out there and gets a guy that he really likes for, say, you know, say Ed Oliver is a guy that, you know, is just scoring off the map in terms of his athleticism, his on-the-field acumen, all the measurables. But, you know, that maybe there was more to that jacket incident when he was on the sideline and the coach told him to take it off and he didn't. Maybe there's a, you know, a team issue there. Well, maybe Brandon Bean really wants Ed Oliver and he doesn't care about that because, you know, he wants to put his stamp on this first round of the draft and he goes out and gets him. And maybe McDermott doesn't want him that because he's got some team issues. So there can be some, you know, definite discord when it comes to, you know, these kinds of moves and big moves, like franchise-defining moves. I mean, you go back to Josh Allen last year, and a lot of people said that that's, you know, more Brandon Bean than Sean McDermott, potentially. I've read that in certain areas and certain insiders, but they're all in on him now. And, it's just such a fun dynamic to kind of break down because, you know, football is the ultimate team sport on the field. But it also, what I'm learning, you know, as I go here, it's also the ultimate team sport behind the scenes and, you know, in the front office and in the coaching staff. And it's fun to dissect it all.
I think your point about the gossip is, and to their point about the gossip is interesting to kind of explore, because if you go back to last year, in the Bean McDermott era, there haven't been many leaks during Rex, and this predates you. It was every other day. Oh, here's Lock on Four and saying this. Oh, they said this about what? I mean, it was fast food, fun to talk about, but not conducive to a culture. Matt, I remember week two last year, if there was one leak, when Josh Allen was named the starter for week two, it should have been a celebratory moment. It's the home opener. People should have been as surprised. I found McDermott to be incredibly salty and angry at the podium that day, and I always thought that it was because it was Chris Mortensen who broke the story. I could only imagine McDermott being angry that he wasn't the one to leak this, and maybe there was a leak he was upset about. Am I reading too much into that? Because that was always my thought there, that that McDermott on that day, maybe he still was angry about Baltimore, but Sean McDermott, control freak, in my opinion. Am I off base there? Or is that kind of going in line with the way he wants to, you know, squash any gossip?
Not at all. I mean, listen, he is, you know, a coach in every sense of the term. I mean, every coach that you've ever had through grade school, middle school, high school, you know, those guys that really just command respect, and respect is something very important. I mean, he walks into a press room sometimes and addresses the media corps as men. He's like, he'll walk in and say, "All right, man, what do you got for me today?" And it's like, it's very like military style. And if, to your point, definitely, I do think that if things get out from within their bubble that he does, that he didn't want out, or he feels there might be a leak, that would definitely be probably something that causes concern with him. But you can even see that, you know, Brandon Bean taking issue with some of the reports that Ian Rappaport has put out in recent months, and even going back to the Antonio Brown saga and all the reports that were coming out in the aftermath of that, and, you know, the way that Brandon got really emotional when he talked about, you know, people dumping on Buffalo. They like to keep things in-house 100%, and I think that their relationship and the culture that they both helped to cultivate, you know, breeds that type of respect for the organization and the people that are kind of carrying out all these, you know, things they want people to do.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest, is the Bills will be here now less than a week than they report, and the next practice being 1 week from today on Thursday. In your sit-down with McDermott and Bean, Matt, what else stood out to you?
Well, I remember listening to you at the beginning of the show talk about Russell Wilson, and I thought, and that was one of the first things that jumped out at me, and of the six stories that I posted, that was the first one I wrote, because you know, I thought about the fact that Brandon Bean mentioned Russell Wilson when talking about how Josh Allen can progress to the next stage. And he had to do a lot of running last year because of a really bad offensive line. I mean, I've gone back now and watched the last six games of the season just to take the best of and see, you know, how good was Josh Allen at times. And I think one of the things that really stood out to me was, number one, how much he targeted the slot receiver, particularly Isaiah McKenzie, which bodes very well for Cole Beasley this year. He was only targeted 7+ times last year on 5 occasions in Dallas, and obviously it was well known that he wanted the ball more. So I think he's going to be a big part of this offense this year. And another thing that, you know this because we all went through last season, but it was just crazy to watch the breakdown in protection, particularly on the interior and on the right side of the offensive line. That's completely changed now. And so maybe Josh Allen won't necessarily have to run as much. He can kind of sit back in the pocket a little bit more and use some of these weapons that Brandon Bean went out and got for him. But Russell Wilson is an interesting case study because he threw 35 touchdowns last year, 7 interceptions, a really nice statistical season for a passing quarterback, especially one with you know, the penchant for running with the football. And you can watch the kind of trajectory of his career over the 7 years. The rushing attempts and the rushing yards have gone down as he's gone on. And that was Brandon Bean's major point, is that, you know, he's gotten to a stage in his career. Now he's in year 7, 2 Super Bowls, 1 championship, Pro Bowls, all this stuff. But he's gotten to a point in his career where he can make plays with his arm. He's really effective in the short to intermediate game and getting his playmakers the ball in space to make plays. And then once those guys get going in games, then he attacks with his legs when defenses aren't expecting it, and it makes him more of a weapon in that way. Now, I think Josh Allen is a little bit more physical and a little bit more, maybe even arguably more athletic. I know that might sound crazy, but some of the things that I watched him do last year, and Russell Wilson is a freak athlete, don't get me wrong, but I don't know, there's just something special about the way that Josh Allen knows when to tuck it and run. I mean, there weren't a lot of times last year where he tucked it and was driven into the ground or lost yards. There were those plays, but there was a lot more positive game plays. So I just think that Brandon Bean's major point in using the Russell Wilson comparison is you have to get to a point where you're maturing, where you're developing, where you're starting to think about the game in a different way. And it'll be interesting to see how much of a step that he's taken in year 2, because we've talked about it before. The expectations are super high.
Yeah, the expectations are high, and we know that the template in this league is you get a good rookie quarterback on his rookie contract, and it's so beneficial. You can beef up Are we close to saying the window is open on that? Are they close to saying the window is open on that? Because I'm sure there's other teams that would think that, yeah, if you spend the number 7 overall pick, that, yeah, year number 2, you should have a chance at winning.
Yeah, I think that they definitely think they're getting there. But, you know, every time you bring that up this offseason, I still think there's some trepidation on the part of the Bills, you know, being McDermott to really cross that line, you know, with reporters. And even in this sit-down, Brandon Bean said, well, we're going to wait and see, when he was asked, like, you know, if there's a big move to be made that you feel like you're close and you can make it to kind of put you over the top, would you make it? And he's like, well, we want to kind of see how this year plays out a little bit. I think they're still operating under the assumption of, you know, job security. I think that they made the playoffs unexpectedly in year one. They tore down the entire roster, and we saw some progress last year from some of their, you know, developmental talents. And now they brought in all the free agents. They have another draft class. You're going to get to see a guy like Ed Oliver, a very high-profile prospect, come in here and see what he can do on a high-powered defense. And I think that, you know, they're kind of, I hate to say it like this, but I feel like they're coasting a little bit. I think they know that they're in the good graces. Things aren't going good across town. You know, in the Sabres, they've had to re-kind of shape things again, bringing in a new head coach there in Ralph Krueger. So I think they feel comfortable. I think Terry and Kim Pegula don't want to make another coaching change or general manager change. There's been so many for both the franchises, and I guess that's kind of one of the issues that you have to deal with when you own two teams in a market is, you know, you kind of get fatigued on something like this in terms of, you know, personnel turnover. So I think they're feeling good. I think they're feeling good about how the community is there. But even Sean McDermott's letter to the season ticket holders was interesting. Still talking up the foundation and, you know, building and the process. So, you know, I don't think they're there yet.
Oh, so much content you got up today, Matt. One last question here. Sean McDermott, and the length of the preseason has become an issue here because we have these reports that the NFL is tinkering with going to 18 regular season games and 2 preseason. And I'm sure a lot of fans would say, yeah, cut the preseason. And I know for a fact when we get to that last preseason game, everybody's going to have that what are we doing here sort of attitude. Sean McDermott likes the 4 preseasons, he says. Matt, you were there. Did you buy it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this guy loves grinding some tape on that 4th preseason game. Oh. I mean, he's a football guy, man. These guys all love it. I mean, they can't get enough of it. I mean, if you send him to a, you know, a high school football game in West Seneca or East Aurora, he'd probably, you know, be anxious to, you know, break it down. I mean, that's just in the blood of these guys. So, you know, I don't blame him for that. But at the same time, you know, the preseason gets really, you know, you get so excited for football as a fan and even, you know, as a member of the media to finally sink our teeth into some tangible, you know, conversation points. And then, you know, you get going through the preseason and there's that build up to that 3rd game where it's like, that's like the showcase game where you put your first team out there maybe for a half and really try to figure out what you're working with. And then you got that 4th game where you're basically playing all, you know, 50% of the players aren't going to be on the roster. So he likes it. I know it's not a great fan engagement tool, that 4th preseason game. But you know what? You can talk about 18 games. I've been thinking a lot about this. And you can talk about 16 games, the preseason. It's the NFL. It's football. You know, people are going to sign up and buy whatever, you know, the NFL is putting out there because, you know, it's just such a phenomenon and it's such a you know, with fantasy football and the impact of that, I just don't think that there's too many things they can do to, affect interest in the sport and the game.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, a lot of content up there right now. What else is coming up here between the now and start of training camp next week?
So, yeah, you're definitely going to, if you're not on Instagram, and, you know, I know it's depending on who the demographic is, you know, not everybody's up on social media, but it's a really nice tool that I've really enjoyed using recently, getting a chance to engage with some, you know, fan blogs and some of the other Bills reporters and media members, just to go live on there and give our immediate reaction or, you know, preview some stuff. And we're going to be very active on the Buffalo Bills on NY Up Instagram page throughout training camp and the season. We'll have all the pre-camp stuff covered at every position. We'll have another 53-man roster projection next week, and we'll also take a synopsis type look at everything that's happened this offseason, get you caught up on everything that's happened, because not everybody's a hardcore fan. Keeping up with the an NFL offseason can be tedious at times. So we'll rehash it and we'll get something up there for you guys.
Matt, one last question, because I didn't ask the follow up, and this goes back to the beginning of our conversation here. So if it's a fan foul to be a Buffalo Bills fan and somehow put on a Red Sox fan hat and cheer for the Sox because too connected to the Patriots, well then who's your baseball team?
So I grew up a Yankees fan, and because my grandfather and my father were. I'm not a big baseball guy these days. I was the height of it probably came. My cousin played Andy Parrino, who was actually played
Get out. That's
LeMoyne.
It's my
cousin from Rockport. So he I was big. I mean, Padres jersey, A's jersey. He was with the Rangers for a quick cup. And I loved the game growing up, and I played it. My son's going to play it. But, Major League Baseball, man, they just haven't done enough in this digital age to keep my attention. And I think part of the problem is I used to play the video game. I'm a big video game guy, sports video game guy. Growing up, that's how I kind of, in my head, put the rosters together and really followed all the team movement, player movement, and whatnot. They stopped making the baseball game because there was a rights issue. And once that happened, I mean, I play Madden in NBA 2K every year. They don't make college games. I don't really watch college sports. So it's, you got to appeal to every demographic. And, there's a big cult following for the video game stuff because it's like baseball cards. It's just another way that some sports fans grew up on the games. And that was one of the big ones for me.
Yeah, I feel like the NBC, The More You Know. How did I not even figure Andy Parrino related to Matt Parrino? Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post. Yeah. Matt, great stuff as always. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you in Rochester.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gene.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.